Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our merciful Father, we come before you in awe and wonder as we consider the amazing love that you have shown to us in the suffering that your Son has so patiently endured for us on the cross. Dear Lord, fill us with an even greater appreciation for the sacrifice that you made for us. All the worship and praise that we can give cannot thank you enough for all that you've done for us. Accept our praise today and increase our faith and love for you. Hear us, dear Jesus, for your name's sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is We Sing the Praise of Him Who Died. Please rise. We follow the order of service as printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended Thee, and justly deserve Thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray Thee of Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And by the authority and command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord be with you. We pray. O God, our compassionate Father and friend, remember not our sins, but rather remember your love and your mercy. Relieve our distress and satisfy us with the eternal peace through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our Passion History reading. We'll read today part 4. It's printed on pages 4 and 5 in your bulletin.
But the Jews were more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood there and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for before that they had been at enmity with each other. Then Pilate, when he called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning these things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent him back to you, sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing worthy of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release the multitude, one prisoner whom they wished, whomever they requested. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow insurrectionists. He had been thrown into prison for a certain insurrection made in the city, and for murder. And the multitude cried aloud and began to ask Pilate to do just as he had always done for them. For it was necessary for him to release one of them, or one to them, at that feast. Therefore, when they had gathered together, the governor Pilate answered them, saying, "You have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders stirred up the crowd and persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" Then they all cried out at once, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas. Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, called out to them. He said to them, "What then do you want me to do with Jesus, who is called Christ, with whom you call the King of the Jews?" And they all shouted, "Let him be crucified." They cried out again, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Then the governor said to them the third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were insistent. They cried out more exceedingly, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. "Let him be crucified! Crucify him!" And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." And wanting to gratify the crowd, Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested, and he released Barabbas to them. Here ends our Passion and History reading.
All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed.
I invite you to please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Nicene Creed, beginning on the bottom of page 5. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Christ, the Life of All the Living. We'll sing the first five verses of that hymn as you find them printed in your bulletin. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who meets with us each time we open his word, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Luke chapter 23. We read verses 6 through 12. When Pilate heard this, he asked if the man was a Galilean. When he heard that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem during those days. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad. For a long time he had wanted to see him because he had heard many things about him. He hoped to see some miracle performed by him. He questioned him with many words, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the experts in the law stood there, vehemently accusing him. Herod, along with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and ridiculed him. Dressing him in bright clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other on that day. Before this, they had been enemies of each other. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. If you had the choice to do anything you wanted to do today, what would you do? What would you fill this day of freedom with? Would you go skiing? Take a bike ride? Drive along the coast? Go to a concert? A sporting event? Maybe you'd rather just sit at home. Maybe you'd spend the whole day reading or just binge watching the latest TV show you're into. It's safe to say that what you came up with likely was either something that was entertaining to you, enjoyable to you, or something relaxing. When you think about that, what would I do with a day's worth of time? When we think about what and how we spend our time, it is telling how important entertainment is to us in general. What does what we do with our time say about us? Now, this isn't a new thing. We're not the first society to have this thought or to deal with the issues of what do we do with our free time? What do we do with our pleasure? How important is entertainment and pleasure in our lives? People with money, people with freedom have struggled with this, filling the hours of their day for centuries. During the season of Lent, we are focused on some of the ironies of the Passion, ironies that took place or that were said during the Passion history of Jesus. Today we come across a man, Herod Antipas, a man who could do almost anything he wanted, and yet he had an unfulfilled desire for entertainment. He had been wanting to see Jesus. That's a good thing, of course, right? Wanting to see Jesus is a good thing. There's really no irony there. But in Herod's case, the irony is that he wanted to see Jesus for the wrong reason. Maybe we should first identify which Herod we're talking about. There are a number of Herods that come up in the Gospels. Herod the Great, King Herod the Great, was the one who was ruling when Jesus was born. He was the one who carried out that order to have all the babies in Bethlehem killed to try and kill the Christ child. That Herod, Herod the Great, died soon after that. The Herod that is spoken of in our text is his son, Herod Antipas. And Antipas ruled only over the region of Galilee, which is the northern territory of Israel, and a region across the Jordan River known as Perea. Herod Antipas' brother Archelaus had reigned in Jerusalem for 10 years, but the Romans tossed him out and put in instead in his place a governor. And at this time, of course, that governor of that region was the governor Pontius Pilate. Now, what you also need to know is that it was actually Herod Antipas who had engineered the downfall of his brother Archelaus. Herod, as is his namesake, was, we would say, not a nice man. He had married one wife and then replaced that wife with his niece, and she was already married to one of his younger brothers. And then when John the Baptist accused Herod of adultery, Herod threw him in prison and later, even though reluctantly, ended up beheading John the Baptist. Was I telling you the truth? Herod was not a nice man. This was a man who needed Jesus. And lo and behold, who is coming to see him that day? Jesus. Luke tells us in our text, when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad. For a long time he had wanted to see him because he had heard many things about him. He hoped to see some miracle performed by him. And there, dear friends, is the irony, the tragic irony, of today's account. This wicked, bloodthirsty, power-hungry, sinful man has the Savior of the world standing right in front of him. He has God himself in human flesh, about to die on the cross for Herod's many shameful sins, as well as for the sins of the entire world, and all Herod wanted from him were magic tricks. How sad. Jesus, of course, did not come to be Herod's court magician. He was not sent to this earth to be our entertainer. He came to be our Savior. Jesus obviously had no intention of showing Herod any miracles that day. And so our text tells us that Herod questioned him with many words, but Jesus gave him no answer. And so Herod did what most spoiled children do when they get bored. Our text continues that Herod, along with his soldiers, treated Jesus with contempt and ridiculed him. Dressing him in bright clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod sent Jesus back, never fully understanding or realizing who it was he had the privilege of speaking with. Do you see the lesson for us in the tragic irony of Herod's attitudes and actions toward Jesus? God had come and stood right in front of him. Well, God has come to us. We're right here in his house, right? Do we see him today? Do we see him in his word? Do we see him when we celebrate the Lord's Supper? The body and blood of Jesus Christ there, in and with that bread and wine. Are we satisfied with the greatest miracle in all history, God becoming one of us to save us from our sins and give us eternal life? Or do we want something else? Are we looking for something else when we come to church? Maybe we do think church should be more entertaining. I've had that thought before in my life. Are we like spoiled children who want to be wowed and awed 24 hours a day, even in this 1 hour where we are worshiping God in his house? Do we demand to be spoon-fed our faith so it's so dumbed down and so palatable that it fits our modern sensibilities, our modern viewpoints, our modern tastes? The truth is, Jesus tells us and makes no illusions to us that being a disciple of his is actually quite a bit of work. It takes discipline. The word disciple is in that word discipline, isn't it? It takes discipline to actually listen, to pay attention in church. It takes commitment to study and grow in God's word and to understand the difference between soul-saving gospel messages of Jesus from Jesus' word and then, on the other hand, what society today passes off for spirituality. We live in a culture that has too much wealth, too much free time, and so many entertainment opportunities that compete with listening to the simple truths of God's word. It's a great danger for us, a very strong temptation for us to not hear that simple, still small voice of God's word. And so let's ask ourselves honestly, are we turning into Herod's? I hate to say that the answer at times has been yes. Have we at times in our lives put entertainment, free time, and pleasure above God and his word? When we do come to the house of worship, we must admit that at times our minds have wandered. We haven't been 100% locked in on everything that is said or sung in a worship service. Our minds have wandered when we should have been paying attention to God's word. Have we wished at times that God's house would be more entertaining? Or maybe we wish that we'd see him do a few more miracles. You know, the ones that we really want to see, the ones we can touch, the ones we can hear and feel, those physical miracles, not just those, you know, those miracles of forgiveness and faith, raising us from dead, spiritual deadness to life, the miracles of Jesus' body and blood being present in the Lord's Supper. We want to see some real miracles. I'm, of course, being a bit sarcastic there. Those are incredible miracles that we get to receive every Sunday. Are we satisfied with those miracles, or do we want more? Even though there have been many times that we have been satisfied coming to God's church, hearing the Word of God, having our souls filled and satisfied with God's Word, we have to admit we haven't been perfect. And that is God's standard, right? Perfection. If God were to play a recording of our hearts and our attitudes on Judgment Day, the only verdict he could render to us is guilty. But he won't. He won't. Because Jesus has taken away our sins. Jesus, that beaten, bloody man standing next to Herod, let all of this happen to him so that he could carry our sins to that cross. There, Jesus paid for Herod. There, he paid for us. There at that cross, God has forgiven us even for our sins against his word, even for our discontented hearts and minds. Jesus stood there in our place and was mocked and refused to defend himself so that we won't have to defend ourselves on Judgment Day. Jesus in the Bible is called our advocate, our defender. He took that punishment on himself. Jesus went to that cross for Herod, for Pilate, even for those chief priests and elders and teachers of the law who were accusing him. And when that day was done, every single sin of every single sinner was paid for by Jesus' blood. Our sins were paid for. The Holy Spirit then uses that good news, that gospel, to work faith in our hearts, to believe it, to make that forgiveness and that freedom in Christ ours, yours, and mine. And this is the plague and more wealth than any other nation in history. But on top of that, we as Christians have an even greater freedom. We are free from sin, its power, its guilt. We're free from the threat of death and hell. And as Christians, we have even greater riches and wealth. We have eternal life in heaven waiting for us. What will you and I do with that freedom? What will we do with that wealth? On our own, we would only waste it. Wishing for entertainment, searching vainly for something new, constantly looking in all the wrong places for all the wrong things. But again, the good news is we are not on our own. God has called us by the gospel. He's given us faith in his son Jesus. And through that gospel, he teaches us to treasure those rich gifts. By God's power working through that gospel, we want to see Jesus, and for the right reasons. So keep coming and see your Savior here. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
accept an offering to give to the Lord today, we'd like you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entry of our church. One special prayer request for today. Some of the items in the mission prayer list in the back of your bulletin I've added to our general prayer, praying just for our brothers and sisters overseas, especially giving thanks to God for the new fellowship that was declared with the church body in the Philippines. We'll add those to our general prayer today. Any other prayer requests for today?
Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O precious Savior, give us grace always to remember in true faith and with repentant hearts what you in love have done for us. Give us also willingness and strength to follow you on faith's journey, even through heartbreak and suffering to eternal joy. Be with us in every temptation, helping us to overcome so we may glorify you with a godly life and a steadfast faith. Keep us at all times from false security, from being careless and indifferent in our spiritual lives. Help us to overcome the weaknesses, the fears, and the sinful desires of our flesh. Grant that our spirits may always be filled with watchfulness and prayer. Forgive us all of our sins, for you suffered and died for them on your cross. Through your merit and intercession, move our Heavenly Father to give us all those things which we need. Dear Jesus, our merciful Savior, we come before your throne today to pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ overseas and for the various needs, concerns, as well as thanksgivings that we've been informed of once again by our missionaries. We bring prayers for healing for those who are in need of your loving, healing hand. We ask you to bring peace, relief, and stability to the regions that are in need of it, especially for our brothers and sisters in Myanmar. Lord, protect them, provide for them, and bring an end to the civil war that has caused so much suffering in that country over the years. We give you thanks and praise for the fellowship we now have declared and share with the Lutheran Autonomous Mission of the Philippines. Bless our fellowship and cause your word to spread to many others in that country, that many more souls may be saved. Be with the schools, the orphans, and the widows that we support. Encourage them with your word and help them grow in their faith and be comforted by your saving promises. Please keep our missionaries and their families safe as they travel. Bless their work in training faithful pastors and evangelists to go and preach your word into areas and places that we cannot go. Cause your powerful, life-saving gospel to convert the hearts of many all over the world, and help us to continue to support with our prayers, our efforts, and our offerings all of our mission activities, both around the world and in our country and our communities. Help us to see ourselves as your missionaries, because that's what you have made us by faith and called us to be in your word. Give us courage, strength, and love to carry out the great commission you have given to each one of us. In your saving name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. Please rise. We continue on the top of page 10. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by his death on the tree of the cross, so that the devil, who overcame us by a tree, would in turn by a tree be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, We join now in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. You may be seated. This time we ask communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession to partake of the Lord's Supper at this time. We begin with those who prefer to take the Lord's Supper from the pews. I invite you to take out your communion packets now. First, begin with the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. And now at the direction of the ushers, communicant members are invited to come forward to partake of the Lord's Supper here at the altar.
Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Please rise. We continue by singing the Nunc Dimittis on page 13.
Salvation.
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. I invite you to remain standing for our closing hymn. We'll sing the last two verses of hymn 420. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and I pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements from the bulletin. Following our service today, we'll have our choir practice at the front of the sanctuary. That begins as soon as possible after church is over with. I'll be heading up to East Bay for our service at Hayward at 1 p.m. Bible class will follow at 2. Wednesday Bible instruction class with Gary is held at 12:15, and confirmation class with Natalie at 4. A reminder, next Saturday night, please turn your clocks ahead, spring forward 1 hour. The time change happens already next Saturday night. Our worship schedule is the usual next week, 9 o'clock Bible class, 10 a.m. worship, and 11 a.m. choir. Of course, it will not be the usual if you forget to turn your clocks ahead, so it will be a different schedule. So please remember to do so. I try to remember to send out a reminder on Saturday to your email. So we'll see you next Sunday, hopefully at the right time. In your mailboxes and in the church entryway, there are calendars for the month of March. If you did not get a new church directory, I have a few copies of those. There's one in your mailbox if you didn't receive it last Sunday. I have some printed copies extra in my office as well. I drew your attention to the CLC World Missions prayer list in our prayers today. Please do read those over and keep all the brothers and sisters in Christ overseas in your prayers, and give thanks to the Lord for the work that he's doing in many different countries and places. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.